churches in our community, nationwide, worldwide, to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Again, that's taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our service. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this great occasion, this Christmas day, coming together in your name. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth more than 2,000 years ago to bring salvation to your people and to the world, that we might know him personally, know you personally, and be able to come to you and find our faith, hope, love, peace. And through that, we find repentance for our sins through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for those listening today and those across our community, our nation, and the world. As we focus this day upon Jesus Christ, come into this world as a babe, grew up, went about doing ministry to each and every one he came in contact with. And today, his witness continues on in our lives, and may we be your witnesses as we're called to spread the good tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. At this time, Carol Hoser and Mandy Height is going to come and do our Advent lighting candle and readings.
Today is Christmas. Today, we light the three purple candles and the pink candle. We also light the center white candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. The second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. The third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. The fourth Sunday, we lit the candle of peace. Today, we also light the center candle. This candle represents Jesus. When we light this candle, we remember Jesus' birth. Our waiting has ended.
When we look at the center candle, we remember that God sent Jesus to give hope, peace, joy, and love to all people. Outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds saw a great light and heard the voices of angels. They traveled to the manger and saw the baby Jesus. Far away from Bethlehem, wise men saw a star in the sky. They followed the star and were filled with joy when they found Jesus. They reminded us that the gift of Jesus was not just for the people in one place, but for all the people.
Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus for all people, not just those in one place at one time. On this Christmas day, help us remember and rejoice again because Jesus was born. May we live every day remembering your love and care and showing that love and care to others. Amen.
Thank you, Carol and Mandy, for sharing in the Advent lighting of the candles and readings. And Crystal, thank you for playing this morning our instrumental specials. And when we think about Christmas, this is a holy day. When we stand in the presence of God, you know, we stand in the presence of holiness and righteousness. And when we think about the five Advents of Christmas, first of all, you know, Paul talks about that in the first chapter, no, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Faith, hope, love, and then peace. And then the fifth Advent is repentance. And we repent of our sins, because Christ came into this world to be our Savior. So when we think about the five Advents of Christmas, it's faith, hope, love, peace, and repentance. And this being the fourth Advent, the coming, that's what Advent means, coming. It's events, coming. And today we want to be looking at peace. You know, Isaiah talks about the peace that Christ brings into this world. And of course, we live in a world of turmoil, and that was back in the Old Testament when the apostles and prophets were prophesying about the things that was going on within the world, and the people were looking for the Messiah. And Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah, and also Micah and other books of the Old Testament. And then it's revealed in the New Testament, as our readings this morning tells us about the coming Christ. So in Isaiah, I'll be reading a few minutes in chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. And I'll read those individually and then expound upon those about the victory that comes by knowing Jesus Christ. And that's what Isaiah is talking about in our scriptures this morning, Isaiah 40, 9 through 11. Now, in Acts chapter 1, 6 through 8, Luke, who is one of the gospel writers, also tells about what Jesus told the disciples to do about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is part of everything that's ever taken place in this world. And all the prophets were led by the Holy Spirit. And we are led by the Holy Spirit today. And so the messenger of the way already had been called to bring the life-changing message that the glory of the Lord will be revealed on earth. And the angels and the messengers revealed that message. Now, when Emmanuel, which means Christ, God is with us, comes, he will indwell those who receive him in order to give them eternal standing before our Almighty God. Now, this revelation from Isaiah, it's a revelation, and also it's inspiration of what things that Isaiah was told and what he saw and experienced in his own life. And then he was to pass that message on to the people of Israel. So the revelation is not only for Israel, but it's for all nations. It's for you and me this day. This revelation called the Good News, as we'll see in a few minutes when I begin our reading. But it is to herald not only by the prophet Isaiah, but by all God's people. We are to witness and tell the good news. Such glad tidings are to be proclaimed only with a strong voice of gladness and certainty. Isaiah, he proclaimed it with gladness and certainty, and we can do that as well. So it's God's word for all people in all of the earth and for every generation. So first of all, we want to look and see why, first of all, the Lord God bears good tidings, okay? In verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 40, which is the fourth Sunday in Advent, And I want to look at that voice, which is the fourth word, and it's a command of our God to his people, and which reads, it says, "Get yourself up on high, upon the high mountain, O Zion," which means Jerusalem, "bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift up. Do not fear, say the cities of Judah, here is your God." That is good news. The good news that Israel had been looking for over probably hundreds and hundreds of years. They was looking for Messiah. They was looking for good news. And Isaiah says, I have it. And you are to proclaim it, because it is a victory that you've been looking for all your life. So, when we think about Isaiah the prophet, who seems to be the speaker here in verses 9 through 11, he summons Jerusalem to become the ambassador for her God, for our God. With mounting urgency, the voice calls Jerusalem, Zion, meaning holy place or the kingdom of heaven, to become part of God's great work upon this earth. And again, that's why he came to this earth, to do a great work. And when he went back to heaven after the crucifixion, he looked at his disciples and he said, you have a great work to do. You have a greater work. I have completed the task that the Heavenly Father has sent me to do. And now you have a great work. And that great work is ours as well. So what good it is to do the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that salvation is not simple to those of Jerusalem can enjoy God's mercy. It is for the sake of the world. And this task of lifting up the good news begins as Zion, understanding the Lord's word, shouts the good news to all the world. And Isaiah also expounds that even further in chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. Now, the new message of comfort and the coming of the Lord are the reason to proclaim the good news. The angels, they came to the shepherds as they were out in the fields watching their flocks. They came with good news as well. Jerusalem, which is Zion, is to relay the good news of the victory. This victory is Jesus Christ. Now, the command, do not be afraid, is commonly repeated in the following chapters of Isaiah. He says it here, and it's spoken in the Gospels. We're not to be afraid. We are to be glad. We are to be excited about the good news of Jesus Christ. And the command, do not be afraid, is continually repeated in Isaiah. Jerusalem is to take the position of the prophet. The prophet, God spoke to prophet Isaiah, and now Isaiah speaks to the people, and they are to become the prophet declaring God's plan, even when the activity is far in the past and then in the future, all with the inspired confidence that God's word will stand. Now, that's the Lord God that bears good news in verse 9. Now, looking in verse 10, the Lord God brings the blessing. You see, there's good tidings, and good tidings brings good blessings. From the beginning of chapter 40 in Isaiah, our Advent messages have been anticipating the coming of the Lord. Now he is now describing, portrayed with the repeated call to behold him in verse 10. If you want to follow along with me this morning, in verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God will come with might, his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense, behold him. Now, he used the symbol of arm, and I'll give you more information on this in a few minutes, but the arm of God, you think about our arms, how we're able to lift things and do things on a minimum basis as we are, but God is the almighty creator and of the universe and everything that we see. He's almighty in power and glory and everything. And Isaiah is talking about his strong arm. And it says, behold, the Lord will come with might. He comes with his host of armies. See, our message essence is the proclaiming of a manifest Messiah, one that has been portrayed all the way through the Old Testament. And now the one prophesied as coming has already come and will come again. He came once as a babe, and one of these days he'll be coming with mighty force, with his strong arm, again, when he comes for the church. Until then, we are to be proclaiming and telling the good news. So this revealing of Christ is what we proclaim. And what we proclaim is he has come and he is coming again. Now, to gaze on Jesus is to behold the Lord God. I think about the song, Mary, Did You Know? And in the song it says, when you kiss your baby, you're kissing the face of God. You think about that. Behold the Lord God. God has made himself known in the glories of power and gentleness. In verse 11, in perfect balance as a strong one to rule. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. And he did exactly that. See, his dominion rests on his own power and is the Almighty One, whose arm, a symbol of strength, of power, will rule in authority as well as in fairness and justice. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to abolish or destroy, but to give salvation to those who believe in me, the Son of God. So he presently holds this out before us to encourage those who trust him and wait for him. Now, we all can experience the strong arm of God, and we need to. And with his other strong arm, we can be gripped by his arm of compassion. And that'll be described right here in verse 11, if you want to follow along with me with this verse, which means the Lord God is leading. He's the leading shepherd. When you think about Psalms 23, David, a man after God's own heart. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides everything, is what he's saying. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. And sure to goodness, I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Knowing that God came into this world as a Messiah, but he was his shepherd as well. And in verse 11, the messenger begins to show how one can depend on God to defend and care for those who will turn to him. Now look with me in verse 11. Isaiah says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, his sheep. We're his sheep. He knows his sheep, and we know our shepherd. In verse 11, it says, in his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And of course, we know the male is a ram. The females he used, and the little ones are lambs. So we are the people of his flock. So our Lord is frequently spoken of in the Bible as a shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And here, lovely figure of the shepherd is carrying the lambs in his arms. He carries us. He lifts us up in his arms. For a tender, reassuring truth this is for all who are his sheep. The strength of Jesus' mighty arm is used to gather us to the bosom and guide it in his ways. Now, here we see in verse 11, the good shepherd carries the lamb in his bosom because he has a tender heart, a tender heart. The size, think about it, the content, the feebleness of the little ones of his flock bring out his compassion. When Jesus was on the earth, and he went about doing ministry and doing good to all he met, he looked at often at the multitudes of people who came to him, who had a particular need. Many of them were spiritual, some was emotional, and some was physical. And he often took care of the physical, and then took care of the spiritual, because he had compassion. It is his responsibility as a good shepherd to consider the weak. And Christ purchased with us with his blood, and we are his own. He is responsible for each lamb. You know, he takes responsibility for each one of us. And he's bound by the covenant not to lose one. You know? He went after, there were 99, but he went after that one in the gospel, the Bible says. We are all a part of his glory and reward. And I put a plea out to you this morning. May we this day become more fully aware of the infinite tenderness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is also the great shepherd, as I mentioned a while ago, taking up his lambs and carrying us close to him. He's always near to us. This tender care of God reminds us it's his unique personal care, as described in verses 10 and 11. I encourage you to go back and read these scriptures today, Isaiah chapter 40, 9 through 11. One arm is mighty, powerful, stretched forth in strength and righteousness. All of these represents the character of God. And the other arm tenderly cares for the weak and the wounded. That's what it means. His strength, his arms are extended to us. And he extended Jesus Christ into this world. He is the Almighty and tender to our needs. That's why I say today, he's one awesome God. One awesome God. And in closing this morning, there isn't a greater time than now to come to Jesus, and there is no greater security than to be in the Good Shepherd's arm, the Great Shepherd's arm. See, Jesus offers us peace to rule our hearts. And that's what this fourth Advent word means. The voice of decorations. The voice of peace. God came into this world to offer peace. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, I came to offer you peace. Not as the world gives, but the peace I give is everlasting peace. So Jesus offers us peace to rule our hearts. If we have peace, we have everything. And it only comes perfectly through Jesus Christ. As we end this year and reflect on the many gifts he has given us, let our hearts this morning be encouraged with the truth of his great love for us. For John 3:16 kind of says it all. It's the whole gospel of truth, the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So let us thank Jesus for that peace that we have through him. And may our words and our actions glorify him this coming year. we're at the end of this year. I mean, just a few more days of December of 2022. And may our words and actions carry on and glorify Him in 2023. And I'd like to close with this final verse. It's taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." If we allow Him to do that, then we experience that all next year and the years to come. The Word is given to us in order for us to know the truth and to carry out that truth and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. There's no better way except through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father God, again, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this day, this Christmas day, the celebration of Jesus' birth. And Lord, we pray for all of those in this world who need Christ. And may we be like Isaiah, not ashamed, or like Paul, the Apostle Paul, not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you, Lord, that you extended your grace and your mercy to us, and we can experience that peace this season and throughout our life. Lord, thank you for those listening today, and may everyone listening and those around this world that doesn't know the perfect peace, and that's Jesus Christ, in some way, somehow, they will experience that through the good news or however, Lord, you choose to make it known to them. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, Crystal is going to close us our service with "Away in a Manger." God bless you and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you.